BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. And we'll talk a little Thanksgiving, talk a little turkey and some other topics as well. Phil will have the news for you as well, too. Just having some issues with the computer in there. Couldn't get it rebooted in time, but don't sweat it. We'll get you in there. Don't worry. We'll get everybody updated. Technology, right? Is Mercury in retrograde? I have no idea. Stephanie Burke usually tells me when that's the case, and I've got no idea. I hope not, because we've got Fun 107 doing their annual broadcast from Plymouth Patuxent this morning. And the last thing they need is for technology issues to get in the way. I was driving in this morning, and I was coming down 240, coming off the highway, heading over here toward the Schenectady Plaza, and I thought it was hailing. Because all of these pellets were hitting my car. And I'm like looking out the window, the clear skies. I see the moon, the stars. I don't see a cloud anywhere. What are all these, like this hail, the sleet, whatever it may be? Why is it hitting my car? And then when I got to the end of 240 and I was about to cross over Route 6 on Esconica Neck Road, there was the salt truck at the stoplight in front of me. And I was like, oh, that's what this is. It's ice melt. Which I didn't think it was cold enough to be icy out there. It certainly doesn't feel like it. I'm in just a sweatshirt and a leather, zip-up hoodie. My weather app says it's 36 degrees out right now. I wasn't thinking it'd be icy. But I guess they're out there salting the road just to make sure. So it kind of weirded me out. I was like, well, I don't see any clouds. I mean, there's some clouds way off to the east, but nothing directly overhead. But that's okay. So again, today is Thanksgiving Eve. Tomorrow we'll be off. I did program in Alice's Restaurant for tomorrow, and I have it running at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3 p.m. I was originally going to do noon, 3, and 6, but I got some messages from folks asking if they could have a morning version of it, a morning airing of it, because by the time the other airings would happen, they'd be too deep into their family activities. As someone pointed out in app chat, 9 a.m. would be perfect because I'm on my way to the football game. So I guess that makes sense. Yeah. If you've got a 10 o'clock start and you're getting ready, you're in the car. So yes, we will have it at 9 a.m., noontime, and 3 p.m. It will air in its entirety. Minus, I took out the one word. And I know some people are going to say, oh, well, you can't play that song and take the word out because that was a word that people used at that time. It's a slur for a gay person. But that person would not be wrong. That was the word that they used at the time. And in fact, when Arlo Guthrie says it, the audience laughs. However, my reasoning for taking it out, and I was talking about this with Chris McCarthy the other day. If I play that, someone will call in and use that word. And then when I say, hey, we don't use that word on the air, they're going to say, well, you played the song and it was in the song. So we're not getting into that. I just took it out. You wouldn't even notice if I didn't say anything. But I'm sure somebody's listening, waiting for it. So again, new, 9, noon, and 3 tomorrow, you will have Alice's Restaurant in its entirety. All 18 minutes and I think it's 18:24 is what it came out to. Which is weird because the track listing says 18:36 and then when I, or 18:34 and when I played the file through, everything was there. So I don't know why it's coming up. But anyway, 18 and a half minutes. Of the seminal Thanksgiving song. And then I was joking around. I was like, well, maybe next year I'll get even crazier. Maybe next year we'll run the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song a couple times. And everybody's looking at me and be like, you're still a talk station. Don't get crazy. So you will have that tomorrow. And I hope that you enjoy it. I'm going to try to make sure I tune in each time to make sure it goes off without a hitch because it's my first time doing it. But if you hear anything, get screwed up with it, just send me an app chat message or an email. I think it'll be okay. And then the other part of the Thanksgiving holiday is we will also be off on Friday. It's a day off for us company-wide, so we're going to give all the hosts the day off, we're going to give Phil the day off, and we're going to have some syndicated programming for you on Friday as well. Then we'll be back on Monday with our regularly scheduled programming. And then just for your planning purposes, in case you want to know what the holiday schedule is around here, we're just going to be off Christmas Day, and we're going to be off New Year's Day. But Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we're going to be playing holiday music. So I have to still go over it with Michael Rock probably sometime next week. And I'm going to kind of mimic what Fun 107 does in terms of their hours. Because they've been doing it for a long time, running holiday music on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And so they basically do... They start at night, I think, like 6 or 7 p.m., and then they go until, I think, noontime on Christmas. Because, by that point, people have kind of wrapped up their morning. It's just something to have on in the background while you're opening your gifts or having your Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve or whatever. So we'll probably mimic something close to what they do. But I promise you, I'm going to try to pack in as much music as he thinks is the right amount. I trust his judgment on it. He's been doing this a long time. And he's the boss. So I'm just going to do what he says anyway. But I think it'll be nice to be able to have these new traditions here. I don't know if they used to play music, Christmas music before, but it'll be nice to be able to like kind of institute these things and be able to still be with you on the holidays in some way or another. And I'm going to be offering that up for sponsorships. If anybody wants to, any businesses want to be part of that and want to sponsor the music that helps us be able to do more music. And then also you can, and of course you'll get commercials involved with it as well, but also, we'll let you record a holiday greeting to your customers, to the WBSM audience, to your staff, whoever you want to address. You can come in and get a quick little 10-second happy holidays from Tim's Taxis. Looking forward to driving you around again in 2025. So reach out to me if you are interested, tim@wbsm.com, and we can set that up. And then what I'd also like is I'd like you, the WBSM listener, to open up your WBSM app. Go to the open line voicemail option, or also the record audio video. It's the same thing. The button brings you to both buttons bring you to the same place, and record a holiday greeting for the audience. give me your name, where you listen from, and then whatever holiday greeting you want to give that's suitable for air, of course. So you might want to say, hi, this is Tim, and I listen in Honolulu, Hawaii. Just want to say Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to Joe and Tina and Elliot and everybody else back there in New Bedford. And you send that to me, and I'll sprinkle some of those in throughout the holiday music. So a nice little option for you to be able to send some holiday greetings to those out there. And I'll try to get as many as I can. I don't, you know, if we get a whole bunch, I won't be able to get them all in, but we'll try to get in as many as we can. 508-996-0500. That is my number here. If you want to call in and get involved in the discussion this morning, app chat and open line voicemails are also both open on the WBSM app. And before we get into some other stories, something I want to make you aware of in case you are planning on taking advantage of the C-Streak service this weekend to Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket. And I know some people were. We had somebody that called into Barry's show yesterday who was planning on taking the C-Streak over the course of the Thanksgiving week. So they were going to have the Thanksgiving week service, which they had last year. They were going to do the same thing again this year. However, they had to cancel that service. And the report that we got, or the caller that called in, said they canceled the service because C-Streak didn't renew its license. The Steamship Authority didn't renew the license for C-Streak. Not exactly. So I spoke to someone over at C-Streak who explained to me that what happened is because their license schedule ends in October, at the end of October. So that's kind of like their regular operation for the year. And then they need to apply for a supplemental license to be able to cover doing Thanksgiving service and December service for the Nantucket Stroll. And they did not get that paperwork in time on C-Streak's end. They thought they put it in with enough time to get it on the agenda of the Steamship Authority for them to vote and approve it, but they did not. So therefore, they did not get the license, the supplemental or extended license approved in time to be able to offer Thanksgiving service. So they were communicating with the people who had purchased tickets for this week to let them know that. They can either get a refund or they can transfer that to something else or whatever. And you should have gotten information from C-Streak about that. If not, you can contact C-Streak directly at 1-800-BOAT-RIDE or contact nb@cstreak.com. All that information is in our story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And the person that I spoke to, James Barker, who is the vice president of sales and marketing for C-Streak, said that they do plan on having that license approved and in place in time for the Nantucket Stroll ferry service. So if getting to the islands this weekend is an absolute must for you, then contact C-Streak and get your refund. And then you can go to Hyannis and take the High Line out of there. You can take the Steamship Authority, whatever schedule they're running. There's other options. You can still get to the islands. It might be a little bit less convenient, but you can still get to the islands. And if you were just going because you're like, Mom, it seems like a fun thing to do on a weekend that I don't have to work, you can always, you know, transfer that to something else. The holiday stroll might be a good idea. But all the details are up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And James Barker said, we apologize to our customers. And I can tell you in my conversation with him, he said that multiple times, how sorry they were that this happened, that this, you know, this was just a miscommunication on their part with getting the paperwork in. I mean, they feel bad about it. They definitely do. So I don't know how long they waited before they contacted people. I don't know if they were still trying at the last minute to try to get an approval here. And I don't know how that all works. Could the Steamship Authority board not have had an emergency meeting to be able to approve this so that people don't get stuck? I don't know. But the bottom line is, it was a simple paperwork error that will be resolved. And C Streak apologizes for what happened. And of course, today is going to be a huge day for travel. If you are heading to an airport, if you are heading to TF Green or to Logan, the number one thing that I would ask is just be patient, be polite, be courteous. It's going to be frustrating. But keep in mind, everybody is going to be doing the best they can. The people that, you know, are at the gate at the airport, they don't control whether or not the plane is late or whether or not the flight gets canceled or whether or not, you know, they overbooked or any of that stuff. That's not that person's fault. And believe me, I've been in those situations where I've wanted to blame the person at the gate, but I know it's not their fault. Try to be a courteous fellow passenger to the others that are on planes with you. Don't take your shoes off on the plane. That's number one. But just keep in mind, everybody is trying to get somewhere. And listen, I've had to travel under terrible circumstances in the past, you know, where everything is thrown off. Sleeping on the floor of an airport or trying to sleep as a tornado is literally on the tarmac. It's not fun. Gives you a good story to tell. And I will tell it again and again and again because I earned it, damn it. But you can get, you can get frustrated pretty easily when things aren't going as planned, especially when it comes to holiday travel. But just again, be courteous. Keep in mind, everybody's going through it. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments. All right. Welcome back in. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment. And then on the other side, we'll take your calls. 508-996-0500, including, I saw for the first time ever in person, a Tesla Cybertruck yesterday. And I'll let you know what I thought. I'm interested in what you think of them. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But right now, I think Phil Devitt is ready to give us all the latest from the WBSM newsroom. Take it away, Phil.
A ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hezbollah. Weight loss drugs could be within reach for millions. And a Thanksgiving tradition ready to take over your TV.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Joe Biden says that Israel and Hezbollah have agreed to a United States-brokered ceasefire in Lebanon that took effect this morning. In addition to widening the risk of a regional war, the escalated tensions and back-and-forth strikes over the last year killed dozens of people in Israel, hundreds in Lebanon, and displaced tens of thousands on both sides of the border. In an angry outburst in a New York courtroom, Rudy Giuliani accused a judge of making wrong assumptions about him as he tries to comply with an order requiring him to turn over most of his assets to two election poll workers who won a libel case against him. U.S. District Judge Louis J. Lyman responded by saying he's not going to let the former New York City mayor and one-time presidential candidate blurt things out anymore in court unless he's a sworn witness. Airlines have pocketed billions of dollars in so-called junk fees by charging customers extra to select a seat or to carry on bags, according to a Senate subcommittee report published this week. The report said some airlines have even paid workers cash incentives to identify customers trying to avoid fees for carry-on bags. From 2018 to 2023, five U.S. airlines made more than $12 billion on seat selection fees alone, an unbundled cost that used to be included as part of an airline ticket. Millions of obese Americans would get access to popular weekly injectables that would help them shed pounds quickly if a $35 billion proposal from the Biden administration is blessed by President-elect Donald Trump. The rule, unveiled Tuesday by the Health and Human Services Department, would require Medicare and Medicaid to cover weight loss drugs like Wegovy or Zepbound for a large segment of Americans who are obese. But it's unclear if the proposal, which would not go into effect until after Trump takes office, will have support from his new administration, including from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an opponent of the drugs, whom the president-elect has tapped to serve as head of HHS. John Tenniswood, the world's oldest man, has died at the age of 112. Tenniswood died on Monday at a care home in England. He'd held the record since April of 2024, following the death of 114-year-old Juan Vicente Perez of Venezuela. He didn't have any particular explanation for how he managed to live so long, describing it as pure luck. And it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This year's parade promises to be bigger and better than ever, with stunning floats, giant balloons, and celebrity performances. It kicks off at 8:30 a.m., winding its way through the streets of Manhattan. If you're not going to be there in person, a good spot to watch is from the comfort of home on NBC or Peacock.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins lost to the Vancouver Canucks last night 2-0. They face the New York Islanders away tonight at 7:30. Celtics in Chicago to play the Bulls on Friday. Patriots home to play the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunny and pleasant today on the South Coast, high around 50 degrees. Rain moves in on Thanksgiving, clearing as we get into Thursday night. The sun is back for Black Friday and for the rest of the holiday weekend, but it will be colder. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
I wish Electric Avenue was in Monopoly, right? It's not, right? No, there's no Electric Avenue, but I wish there was, because then I would rock down to it every time I played. Although I don't play Monopoly because I don't like Monopoly. God, it's the most boring game in the world. If I'm at a party and somebody pulls out Monopoly, hey, everybody, let's play. I do the SpongeBob. All right, I'm gonna head out. I bought Ghostbusters Monopoly at Savers for $5, but I bought it and I was like, I want to play this and see. And then I was like, yeah, but that means I have to actually play Monopoly. And I don't know if they have, you know, the Monopoly that would actually get me to sit there and play the game. I know that they have, you know, all kinds of horror Monopoly now. I go into the Horror Family LLC in downtown New Bedford, the horror store and next to Sixes and Sevens. I go in there and they've got all the board games and I'm like, yeah, I'm still not going to play Monopoly though. Spirit Halloween, I'm like still not going to play Monopoly. Other games, sure, but that one I just try to avoid it. And I have a really nice Monopoly set somewhere that I got for Christmas one year that I asked for, by the way. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I got it and we played it and I was like, oh yeah, I don't like Monopoly. But it was like the one of the anniversary editions, and it came in a hardwood box that you slide the top open and everything's inside. And it was all the kind of vintage pieces. It was, you know, it was fun to have, but not to play. But I did see a game yesterday that I thought about buying, and then I said, wait a minute. I haven't played Candyland in who knows how long. I don't even think my son ever played Candyland. But they have over at the Marshalls here, across from the radio station, they have a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory Candyland game. And it was like $14, and I gave a lot of thought. I'm like standing there in the store trying to decide, am I going to buy this and bring this to Thanksgiving and play this with my nieces and nephews? I have a few nieces that are kind of right in the age group. I have one nephew who's probably a little bit too young and one that's probably a little bit too old, but I'm sure the kids would have all gotten together and played it anyway. And I can't say I'm not going to go back and get it today. I don't remember Candyland at all or how to play it, but I know that I could always, you know, send it home with one of those kids. Say, bring it back on Christmas. We'll all play again then. But when it comes to, like, I'm not a board game person. I don't want to play Scrabble. I don't want to play Risk. I don't want to play Stratego. I don't know what some of the other board games are people play. Battleship I always liked. I kind of liked Battleship. Especially if your friend had electronic talking Battleship. Clue is kind of fun. Operation, but you know, you can only play Operation for about 5 minutes before you get bored with it. The one game I will play anytime people pull it out is Trivial Pursuit, depending on what edition it is. Like, I'm not going to play the Friends edition, or, you know, because I don't know that much about Friends. I've seen every episode of Seinfeld, but I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of Seinfeld. I'll play the Seinfeld Trivial Pursuit. What else did they make? I think they made a Sopranos one. Again, I don't have encyclopedic knowledge, but I watched every episode more than once. But regular Trivial Pursuit, or Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture Edition, or Trivial Pursuit the 90s, oh yeah. Not only am I playing, you're going down. It's your own fault for bringing it out. And now when this utter destruction happens to you, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. But anyway, board games, yeah, that's emphasis on the board for me most of the time. B-O-R-E-D. I also had mentioned that before the break, before the news, I had mentioned that afterwards I would mention that I saw a Cybertruck. A Tesla Cybertruck in person for the first time. And I don't mean to insult whoever it was that was driving it here and parking it in our parking lot here. But I just don't get it. They don't look good to me. They look like a five-year-old drew a truck. And then Elon looked at it and said, yeah, let's make that. And I'm sure that there's thought that goes into the design for wind resistance and dynamics and all that kind of stuff. Just looks dumb. And I say to somebody who pays $80,000 for one of those, could have bought a lot more truck for $80,000. And by the way, is it really a truck? Is it more like an SUV? It doesn't, I mean, I guess it's more akin to a pickup truck that has one of those tonneau covers, but I don't get it. You could have had an all electric, you know, Chevy Silverado for the same price. And actually look like you're driving a truck. My Silverado is one of my favorite cars that I ever had. I loved my truck. I've had two trucks. I had a Dodge Dakota, which is, you know, a truck, I guess, in name only, really. It's more like a Dodge car with an open back. And then I had a Silverado that was just badass. I loved it. It was just beat up enough that I didn't feel bad doing anything at all with it, but it was still very nice on the inside. And I bought it out of somebody's yard, but it had all of the bells and whistles. So much fun driving that truck. But I don't get what the appeal is of the Cybertruck. For $80,000, I'm buying a Dodge Hellcat. And I guess that's probably the opposite of what a person who buys a Cybertruck is trying to do. Get off my car. There's a giant seagull sitting on the top of my car right now. Get off my car. Oh, he's gonna cover that thing. I'm literally like the only car in the parking lot. It's myself and Mike Roberts, who's working over at Fun 107. And this, oh, he's making himself at home. I guess he lives there now. Until the next commercial break. But yeah, so this thing just looked goofy to me. But I'd be interested in getting your take on it. 508-996-0500. Have you seen them? What do you think of them? They are becoming more and more ubiquitous. I had friends that live in other areas who are saying, I see them all the time. It's the first one I've laid eyes on in person. Well, the seagull must have heard me. He just got down. So I think that there's, you know, for those who want them, more power to you, but I just don't get it. 508-996-0500. We're also going to be talking about a story coming up. The town of Plymouth. Divided. I know. When is the town of Plymouth not divided on something? And by the way, I totally make that statement based on social media interactions. But the town of Plymouth divided over Santa Claus. We'll have more about that coming up after this break. You know, I'm usually not a steel drum guy at all, but I love that song. Thanks to participation trophy wife who says she was yelling at the radio that, yeah, yes, Mercury is in retrograde. So that explains the technical issues. And I was having technical issues yesterday, too, as I'm trying to program in Alice's restaurant for tomorrow. But those technical issues were my own fault because, man, I am dumb sometimes when I leave this studio at the end of the program. Like, I need a good 20 minutes to get my brain back in order and to be able to do things effectively. I don't know why. It's weird. But, yeah, I went right into the studio right into the back studio and started programming everything and making sure that I got it all done. And I screwed it all up. So good thing Jason Kent is always here to bail me out when I mess up. And also, she says, Trivial Pursuit the 90s might just be the perfect party theme idea. That's a great idea. And, you know, if you want to get yourself a copy of the game, no, I'm sure you can get it on Amazon, but I see every Savers that I go into, I see Trivial Pursuit 90s edition on the shelf. I think what happened is people bought it when it came out probably 15, 20 years ago now. And then they play it so many times that they know the answers to all the questions. And my ex-wife used to accuse me all the time of cheating when we played Trivial Pursuit because she said I must be taking the box of cards into the bathroom with me because, you know, you're in the bathroom for so long, who knows what you're doing. And I would go hide in there with the box of Trivial Pursuit cards and memorize all the answers to the questions. Like, no, I know the answers to the questions because I lived through the 90s. And because I remember dumb things that I never need to actually know. And I don't remember the things that I actually have to remember. It's the way my brain works. I'd be the perfect trivia partner at one of those trivia things that they do at like local bars and everything, but I've just never done it. Usually they're on Thursdays and I bowl on Thursdays, but I've never done it because I know how I'll get about it. My season of competing in Knowledge Bowl in high school taught me a thing or two about that. So this Santa Claus story that's coming out of Plymouth, and NBC Boston has the NBC 10, you know, the NBCBoston.com. They have a story on it, but it's been blowing up in the Plymouth Facebook groups because over the weekend they had, you know, last weekend, they had the Plymouth America's Hometown Parade. It's their Thanksgiving parade. They don't do it actually on Thanksgiving. They did it the weekend before in the rain. And Frank McKenna, who has been playing Santa Claus in that parade for the last couple of years. See, kids, the real Santa Claus is way too busy in late November to go to Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, he'll show up for the Macy's Day Parade tomorrow. That's because he has to go to Macy's anyway to get Mrs. Claus her gift. You know, he can't have the elves make her a gift. One of those little guys would definitely ruin the surprise and tell her what she was getting. So he goes to Macy's and gets her gift. And so he's going to go there anyway. So he goes and takes part in that parade. But the Plymouth parade, they have to bring in one of Santa's helpers. And so Frank McKenna has been that helper for the last 2 years. And he assumed he was doing it again this year. Except he found out 2 days before the event on Facebook, he saw another man posting that he'd be the one riding as Santa Claus in the parade. And so Frank McKenna said he was heartbroken. And he said the embarrassing thing was he told all these people, oh yeah, I'm the Santa in the parade, and I guess not. In a statement, America's Hometown Thanksgiving Parade organizers said they have never heard from Frank this season and brought in someone else, writing in a statement, in the last 6 years, we've featured four different volunteer Santas on our float. We appreciate all of the volunteers that make our event such a success. Now, McKenna says he's angry that he was not being told that he wasn't the person, and then he hopes that it was really just a miscommunication. And then he said he thought that it was karma when he watched the parade on television and saw that it was raining. So, I mean, I don't really know who's at fault, but the story has turned into something beyond this in the Plymouth Facebook groups where people have like, this guy's been Santa Claus forever and they just pushed him aside. He's been Santa for 2 years. And as he points out in this NBC Boston story, he has plenty of gigs lined up. And I'm sure many of them are paying gigs. This is a volunteer gig. He was not going to be paid to be the Santa Claus in the parade, but I'm sure he's got plenty of paid gigs lined up. He'll be okay. But I guess part of the ire that people have is the Santa Claus that they brought in, the person who portrayed Santa Claus, didn't have a real beard, and Frank McKenna does. I mean, Frank McKenna, if you see the story online, he looks like Santa Claus. And I guess this other guy, they padded the suit and put on a fake beard and all of that. People get worked up over their Santas. Man, even the kids don't believe. I mean, maybe little kids. But they don't know the difference. Anybody who's an adult that's getting worked up about how realistic the Santa looks, it's not about you. It's about the kids. And the kids are just happy to see Santa Claus and wave to him. You don't think that the kids aren't savvy enough to realize that the Santa whose lap they sat on at, Edaville when they took a photo is not the same Santa whose lap they sat on at the mall when they took a photo. They're all Santa's helpers. Right? So not all of Santa's helpers have to have a real beard. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. You know, I think I'm alone now. I'm the only person in the, well, we got Phil doing the news. We got Mike Robertson from 107. It still seems pretty empty without Michael Rock and Gazelle here. But they'll be back on Monday.